and welcome again to this week's edition of The Golfing Mind, the podcast where we look at golf in general, but the mental game of golf in particular, and seek to learn if there's anything we can further uncover about how the mental game can be mastered to benefit ourselves. And last week it was the Masters. Finally, we're seeing crowds back at the events, and it's a great opportunity for us to see the very, very best players in the world being put to the severest test. When professional golfers or major winners are asked about which was their most difficult major, without exception, they'll say the first one, because there's always that unknown. Will I cope with the pressure coming down the stretch? Now, there are a few people who've only ever won one major, and they kind of came in before the weather turned, or they had what's considered to be a lucky win. But generally speaking, I have no doubt that everyone on a golf course in a tournament understands that if they get in their own way, they can sabotage themselves. And that's why the Masters this year I thought was really interesting. You have Matsuyama, the first Japanese winner of a major tournament. So can you imagine the pressure he must have felt? This is a guy who was a very gifted amateur golfer, and he's a fabulous golfer. His position in the world rankings has always been good. And yet, you know, he does things which you would think are unusual. His caddy isn't a professional or a full-time caddy. He just happens to be a very good friend of his. So obviously, having his friend on his bag brings him a degree of comfort. I would imagine the same thing. I've often thought, if I was in a really tight match, would I want someone who is going to just give me that quiet reassurance? And I'm sure I would probably prefer to have a professional caddy, but I could also understand I've got one or two friends who are extraordinarily good competitive sports people, but not necessarily golfers. But I know that in a given situation, they'd be fantastic at saying the right thing. So Matsuyama played, I thought, good golf. Not great golf, but very good golf. And sometimes, and I don't have an answer for this, but sometimes I think the golfing gods just smile on you. And we've seen it in tournaments over the years. We've seen, you know, Freddie Couples' ball famously sticking and not running down the bank when he won his first Masters. I mean, just almost impossible. And then you saw Matsuyama hit it. I'm not sure which hole it was, but he went into the trees. And the next thing, there's a bounce and a clatter, and it pops out into the first cut. Now, that easily saved him from a dropped shot. And I think there's another time that he had a very, very fortunate bounce. But when he came to the 15th, I think he wanted to put the tournament beyond reach. He thought, knock it on the green, two putt, walk off with a birdie. But either he was pumped up or he got a low trajectory, but the ball went over the back and into the water. Now, I thought if ever there was going to be a moment of drama for us to watch and learn from, that was it. But what did he do? He didn't seem to speed up his routine. He walked up, he had a look, he came back. Now, he also knew that if he chipped it onto the green, it was going to disappear, run off the green into the water. So what he needed to do was to chip it as close to the green as possible and then play from there. But even then, I think 99% of golfers in the world would struggle to get down in three. Most of us would get down in four, if not more. So he chipped up and he putted down to that hole for a tap-in. And I still think it was probably one of the shots of the tournament for me because of the extraordinary pressure he was under. Equally, his companion or his playing partner, Xander Schauffele, he played a bunker shot of such exquisite precision that it came within millimetres of sort of going into the hole for an eagle. Now, that would have been a three-shot turn. We've then seen the return of Jordan Spieth. Spieth, who has been considered, I remember I've spoken to a number of professionals and said to me, oh, you know, if Jordan Spieth couldn't putt, he'd just be he would be struggling to make it on the tour. Well, he can putt, and that's what people forget. You know, putting isn't just about being lucky week in, week out. It's about having extraordinary touch and feel. And that's something he has. And I can see his confidence has come back. It's worth bearing in mind that, you know, he was one of the few people under par on the final day. The disappointment for me was John Rahm. He went out on the final day, was 6 under par for the day, and he produced a golf that he's been capable of. Now, I don't know if it was to do with expectation or pressure, if it was to do with, you know, becoming a new father. So his mind was much more occupied on being a father for the first time. I really don't know. But the one thing I was very pleased to see was how well he played in the last day. And he's someone else that I think is going to be a master or a major champion very, very soon. Tony Finau is someone who I always keep a close eye on. I think he's got a wonderful disposition. He's generally smiling. When he's not smiling, he's relaxed. He hits an extraordinarily long ball when he needs to. And he finished, you know, 3 under par for the tournament. So I think for a lot of the players, getting back into the major mindset was is a good thing. Who are the disappointments? Well, you know, Dustin Johnson not making the cut is just a surprise to everybody. But I think sometimes we expect too much of golfers. It is a very challenging game, and it just helps you realize how extraordinary the record of people like Jack Nicklaus is and Gary Player, Tiger Woods, Ben Hogan, people who made the cut every single year. They just didn't miss the cut in the majors, and if they did, it was headline news. McIlroy. I'm not worried about McIlroy. People do ask me occasionally, do I think he's seen his best days? It's many years since his last major. And I think there's too much inherent talent in that young man. I think that he's gone from what I call unconscious excellence, an instinctive, intuitive feel and touch, to a much more mechanical style. And he's running the risk. And I say this almost hesitatingly because I don't want it to become a self-fulfilling prophecy. But I think two of the greatest golfers who ever lived were just amazing. At their best, they were amazing. But the one I'm comparing him to more than... You see, there's Ben Hogan and there's Seve Ballesteros, two players who just were amazing. Now, what's interesting is Seve was more or less self-taught, as was Ben Hogan. Ben Hogan created a swing for himself, which was very mechanical. It was a very mechanical swing. Seve could see a shot, sense it, feel it, and execute it. McIlroy, I think, was much more like Ballesteros when he began his career. And his prodigious self-belief, his innate talent, his short game, it was just wonderful. We have to remember, this is the young fella who, when he blew a 4-shot lead on the final 9 holes of his first or second Masters tournament, went out 4 weeks later and won the US PGA, if I'm not mistaken, by some margin. And he played just wonderful golf. So I'm very much of the opinion he's done what Hogan did and he's done what Ballesteros did, is they stopped trusting instinctively in themselves and their own ability to figure it out. And they went looking for answers and became much more technical. And Seve particularly was looking everywhere, had coaches. And what coaches do, and the great coaches do, is reinforce your confidence. They help you find what you're looking for. With my clients often, you know, I always say that we've all got a combination lock in our head. And that combination lock is the secret to our playing our best golf mentally. Now, for some people, it's about staying very animated on the course. For some people, it's about staying quiet. For some people, it's about staying in the moment. For other people, it's visualizing greatness. Whatever it might be, but no two people are the same. That's the point I'm trying to make. And what I'm hoping to see is, I think the greatest coaches help people find their way back to their own solution in many ways. Now, when it's a technical, specifically technical thing, obviously there is a mechanical element. But when you have players with multiple major tournaments under the belt, we know they have the ability. What they need to do is to rediscover it. Now, amateur golfer and weekend warrior, you know, you will, in the course of a round, hit some absolutely wonderful shots, exactly as you visualized, exactly as you imagined. And yet after the round, these aren't the shots you'll remember. You'll remember the duff in the bunker, the slice, the hook, whatever. So my thought today is that we have to remember our best and use our best as our template for what we're trying to do. Now, we know it's not always going to work out that day, but if you're going to think anything on the golf course, think positively. And as I endlessly tell my clients, be kind to yourself on the golf course. Don't beat yourself up. There's enough in life that can beat us up without our own voice adding to it. Well, that was my thoughts and reflections basically on the Masters and some things we can take away from it. If you'd like more information on the work I do, go to seegergolf.com. That's www.seegergolf.com, where there are a number of online training programs from 13 weeks to 1 year, where you can do it all by remote, or you can do it one-to-one with me on any aspect of the mental game of golf where you feel you could use help, and we can always get better. So until we speak again next week, wishing you all the best and happy golf.